Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The texts for our meditation this morning are both the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah and from Mark chapter 7. And our theme is wonder upon wonder. Our text says, they asked our Lord, "Why do your disciples not walk in the traditions of our fathers?" Now, as I was preparing this sermon for today, I really looked at that question that these Pharisees and scribes asked of the Lord. And I was drawn back to this simple question posed by these supposed Jewish authorities. One of the things that kept coming to my mind was that wonderful Christian poem entitled Footprints. Many of you have probably seen it. In case you're not familiar with that poem, it's the story of a person who dreams they are walking on a beach one night with our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's, during this walk, different scenes of this person's life are flashing before their eyes, and the person looks back at the footprints left on the beach. And usually there were two sets of footprints where the person was walking and the Lord was walking with them. But then when the person saw these really difficult situations in their life, they saw only one set of footprints. So they turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, the times when I needed you most, why weren't you there with me?" And the Lord responds to this person and says, "My dear child, those weren't times when I left you. Those were times where I carried you." Now, how could your pastor possibly associate this beautiful poem about being a faithful Christian disciple with our story today of these sinful Pharisees and their notion of blindly walking in the footsteps of their fathers? Well, if you think about what Jesus is doing here when he spoke these harsh words to a group of people who should have known better, yet they refused to listen. He was directing them to look at Holy Scripture. He was directing them to look at the Word of God. He was calling them back to the words of Isaiah. Wonderful prophet. I enjoyed reading him. And in a very real way, our Lord was pointing their eyes to the fact, well, sure, there was only one set of footprints on their path throughout life. And that one set of footprints didn't belong to Jesus Christ. And nor did it lead them to Jesus Christ. That lone set of footprints was theirs. And theirs alone. It was their path. Their walk through life. Their walk to holiness. And well traveled as it was by their forefathers, that led only to their idea of holiness and not to God and His holiness, the only holiness that truly saves. So their path, their walkway was just that. It was their path. It was their walkway. Not God's, not the way God wanted them to walk. And what about the mighty wonders of our God? These two became blurred by the perspective we've developed in our walk and our ways of being right. And God seemingly becomes having nothing to do with the outcome of our lives. In other words, folks, it becomes me. What have I done? Look at what I'm able to accomplish. Look at me. Look at me. This is why I absolutely love God's law. Yeah, I do. I love the law of God, and probably not for the way you think. You could probably be sitting there thinking, yeah, oh yeah, that's right, he's legalistic. He's got that Pharisaical look about him. He wants to do things the way according to the law. That's him. Yep. I know it. But that's not what I mean when I say I love the law of God. You see, the law of God is God's word. It's him speaking to us. As the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We study in the catechism. We study as children and as adults. We study that there are three uses of the law. It's a mirror to reflect back. We look in the mirror. What do you see? This last catechism class, I brought in a big mirror and I said, what do you see? What do you see in this? I held it up to each one of them. Look in there. What do you see? Me. You see yourself. You see yourself in the law. You see yourself as one not able to fulfill the law, not able to carry it out. You're able to murder. That's okay. We didn't want those babies anyways. Look at what the population would have been if we'd had those babies anyways. So it's okay. Let's go ahead and murder. And it's okay to steal. Oh, sure. Hey, nobody's going to notice. It's okay to gossip about your neighbor, spread stories. They're true, they're not true. Ah, who cares? It's good fun to talk about them, though. And coveting. Duh. Keeping up with the Joneses is what that is. A light unto my path. I like to think of it as kind of road signs. Because you see, another use of the law is a guide to keep us on the straight and narrow. And the third use of the law is a curb. And I teach it, it's just like right out here in the street, right out in front of the church here on 9 or Main Street here, there is a curb. Why is that curb there in the first place? It's not just to keep the water running along the way they want the water to run when it rains, if it rains. But it's there to keep the cars on the road. The law is there as a curb to keep you on the road, the right path. God's law points me and directs me in the way that I need to go. And to the wonders that only God could have done for me. It's only then you see these wonders of the Lord and you say, wow. But do I always follow these signs, these road signs? No. In fact, the more I examine myself in light of God's law, the more I realize that I have thoroughly and completely ignored his word and his command, and I have driven far, far off of his narrow pathway. Instead, I'm going the way that I want to go. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing it the way I want to do it. I can't even take a single step apart from Christ in the right direction. That's how difficult it is. For apart from Christ, all paths are steps in the wrong direction. But this is why I love God. my path. His law, his light, as much as it shows me quite clearly that I have strayed from his law, also it doesn't leave me there to die. I often show the example of the first lawbreakers, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. The only two people on earth, they had only one law, and that God told them. There was only one thing that God told me. He says, don't eat that fruit. What did they do? They had one law. They ate of that one fruit. So what does God do for them disobeying just one law? He kicks them out of the Garden of Eden. No longer are things perfect. But the man, by the sweat of your brow will you eat. You're going to have to work. And it's going to be hard. Women, could you imagine what childbirth would have been if Eve hadn't eaten the fruit? There's another baby. But it's not. I've been in the delivery room for a number of children being born, and it's not easy. It's not easy, is it? So they had one law, and God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. And then he put two angels there to keep them from going back in. Okay? Everybody thinks, oh man, that's so hard. But they stop reading. If you keep reading the Word of God, you'll see that God took care of them after he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden for sinning. The first blood was shed. God made garments for them from the skins of animals, is what it says in Genesis chapter 3. God shed blood. God killed his own creation so that the sinful, naked man and woman would be warm and they wouldn't be embarrassed. That's how clothing came about. So God continues to take care of us. His law leads me right back to the very light of the world, Jesus Christ himself, the wonder of wonders. That's what Isaiah was talking about when he said, the wonder of wonders. In fact, it is in this very act of turning around, or repentance. That's what repentance means, is to turn from your evil, sinful ways and walk in the light of the Lord. And not in a personal act of retracing my steps all the way back to where I went wrong, but in the simple act of turning around, humbly repenting and confessing that I have strayed far from Christ. Just do it. That he is there to pick me up and to carry me back to safety. Setting my feet firmly on his narrow path of complete forgiveness, unconditional love, and everlasting salvation. You see, many people don't like hearing about their sins that they actually commit. People don't like that. They don't like it. And, you know, I can't stand up here and say, you, and, oh, you did this. Oh, I know what you did. See, I can't do that out here because it would embarrass you. You wouldn't like it. But we know that you're guilty. It's not me that's pointing out your sins. Do you get it? It's not your pastor that's pointing out your sins. It's God. It's his law. It's what he says. I'm not making this up. Pull the Bible out and read what it says in Exodus chapter 20. What the Ten Commandments are. So it is, yes. You are the one that I am talking to. And it's only with the years of saving faith that our Lord so graciously bestows upon us that we're able to hear him speak the truth. It is only with the eyes of saving faith that the Holy Spirit opens in us through the hearing of God's Word, that we are able to take an honest look, a faithful look into his mirror, and recognize the reality that yes, okay, yes, we have strayed. We have wandered from the path, and we are lost and dead in our sin, each and every single one of us. My job, my vocation, as one who is called by Christ himself to stand in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, is to simply direct your eyes and ears to our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm to direct you to the wonder of him who died to set you free. I'm to direct you to the law of God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm to direct you to his call to stop doing sinful things. It's a choice. You can well do that. And to turn around and live according to the will of God, our Heavenly Father. Your Lord loves you very much. He loves you too much to let you continue meandering and straying from your own paths and onto these well-worn paths of our forefathers. It's easy to fall into that. And what happens is we wander far from him. So do not be deceived. Our paths, the paths of all mankind by nature and apart from Christ, they only lead one way. They lead to hell. They lead to damnation. However, for our sake, Christ faithfully walked this one-way path and he returned. That's why we just confessed he descended into hell and he rose again on the third day. He went into the very depths of hell. Death completely and eternally he crushed sin, death, and the devil with his all-redeeming death. And when he walked back out, risen and victorious. Think about that wonder of wonders for just a minute. There's only one set of footprints that leads into hell and back. Jesus Christ. The footprints of our almighty Lord and Savior. Because of Jesus, that pathway to hell is no longer one way. His cross serves as an eternal roadblock on the pathway to damnation. We often seek our own ways and the ways of the world because those ways are just easier. They really are, and they feel good. But they're wrong. Prophet Isaiah wrote, "And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish." You see, the Bible, to many today, has become a book of hate, they say, because it condemns so much that's going on in our world today. That's no different than what took place in Jesus' day. The Word of God is the Word of God. It is what he says. But this today, this is the gospel for us. That our God will again do wonderful things with you people. He will with wonder upon wonder. He has already blessed each of us with the gift of his dear Son. He will continually bless us upon this path we walk in this brief life upon the earth, his wonders will astound us. We will marvel at the wonders of his grace, and we will thrive in the glory of life everlasting. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.